Welcome to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks very much for tuning in to your local campus and community radio station on a Wednesday afternoon. Hope you had a good beginning of spring. Thanks very much to the staff here at KDVS for filling in for me last Wednesday when I was in Washington, D.C., trying to think of what sort of poetical and or technological comments to offer on my visit to Washington, D.C. I did drive past Busboys and Poets, which is one of the most important performance spaces in the revitalized 14th and U Street neighborhood of D.C. That was the neighborhood where kids like me didn't go. We were afraid. Some of the other kids went there for lascivious purposes, but now it is hopping, reconnected with the important African-American traditions of the past. One can see posters of the great poet Langston Hughes hanging from streetlights in the 14th and U Street neighborhood. And Busboys and Poets is providing a great variety of highest quality poetry to people who want to head over there on the Green Line in Washington, D.C. On today's show, I've got three important guests. The first is Blaine Loomer. He's the founder of Wubbit.com, which is a full-service online bookseller that offers an alternative to traditional methods of online book sales and distribution. We will talk to Blaine Loomer about the book industry. I should say as an aside that while I was in Washington, D.C., I read on my iPad the latest book by John LeSqua. It's called Damage. There is a villain in the book, Roy Kirtley. He's not the only villain, but he's a villain who does damage to a great number of people. But he gets his comeuppance, as villains so often do. I really enjoyed that book. It was a page-turner. I don't get to read a lot of legal thrillers. So I'll say, without equivocation, that this is the best one I've ever read. John LeSqua is a Davis-based novelist, author of 22 books. I enjoyed having him on this show a couple months ago, and I'm sure he'll be back. You can find out more about him at John LeSqua, LeSqroart. Lots of silent consonants there. JohnLeSqua.com. And then, at about 25 minutes after the hour, we'll be joined by representatives of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble in preparation for the Sonnet Project. The Davis Shakespeare Ensemble, in cooperation with the UC Davis Arboretum, will proudly present an original love story featuring the poetry of William Shakespeare's famous sonnets. Directed by Gia Battista and Steph Hankinson, the music was composed by Richard Choenhill. Battista and Choenhill will be joining me on this program. So I'm very much looking forward to that, and looking forward to my conversation on the live line in just a moment with my first guest, Blaine Loomer of Wubbit.com, on the springtime edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. Thank you. you're enjoying this orchestral jazz. This is from More Jazz Meets the Symphony with Lalo Schifrin. And this, of course, as you can tell, is mixing symphonic music with Miles Davis. It's called Sketches of Miles. Blaine Loomer is my first guest this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology. Blaine Loomer is the founder of Wubbit, which is a full-service online bookseller that offers an alternative to traditional methods of online book sales and distribution. Blaine Loomer has over 20 years of experience in corporate management and sales, and he is a self-published author himself. He's going to tell us about Wubbit, and we're going to talk a little bit about the book industry in 2011. Blaine Loomer, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Glad we could catch you in Cincinnati, Ohio this afternoon. And I'm very much interested in Wubbit, but let me ask you first a little bit about you. Was it a path that could be foreseen, all the work that you've done in corporate management and sales, and that you would move towards online book sales and distribution as the founder of Wubbit?
No, actually not. If you'd asked me 5 years ago if I was going to be in the publishing business and taking a run at the online book sales and distribution market, I probably would have told you were a little crazy.
Right. So tell us what compelled you to move in this direction.
Well, as you mentioned in the intro, I took some time off after 20 years in the corporate commercial software business and wrote a book myself. And when I got down to the sales and distribution part of the publishing process, I really ran into one of the most convoluted sales and distribution systems I'd ever seen.
Mm.
And so as a result of all my years in the technology business, I went across the country and gathered some software heads together and said, hey, is there a way to fix this? And that's really how Wubbit.com was born.
That's great. So you realized you saw a problem from an author's point of view, and you figured other authors must have this same problem.
That's correct, yep. And you know, most authors that go out there, they spend sometimes years, you know, months, sometimes years writing their book, a lot of hard work. And when it gets down to the publishing process, they go out and try to, you know, solicit the large publishing houses or small publishing houses, whatever the case may be, to get their book out there in the marketplace. And, you know, either they've been turned down by a lot of small or large publishing houses, or they just don't have the bandwidth to do it. And they're really left without a marketplace.
So in steps Wubbit, let's remind folks that Wubbit is Wubbit. We've talked about online book publishing on this show before. I know people who are associated with Smashwords.com as well as BookBaby.com. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about Wubbit and what Wubbit offers that both traditional and other online publishers wouldn't.
Well, we do a small amount of our businesses of really publishing, physically publishing the book. We do offer publishing services or a piece of the publishing service. A lot of authors come to me and say, you know, I've got two or three pieces of the puzzle and I need printing or I need editing or whatever the case may be. The main focus of Wubbit is really on the sales and distribution side. So essentially what we've created is a platform that's very cost-effective for an author to get on there or a publisher to register their titles on there for sale on the site. And we sell retail just like you would on any other large retail site. If you order a book, for example, we'd ship it to your house.
Right.
And so forth. But we also offer wholesale distribution on the same website. So effectively what we have is a huge volume of books, independent bookstore customers, gift shops, specialty stores, those kind of things, that have their own shopping cart, if you will. And that shopping cart includes wholesale discounts and specific shipping terms and return terms that are typically different from what a retail sale would be.
I see. So How does a lot of people are talking about online books. You probably saw that Amazon just yesterday came out with its storing your CDs in the cloud offer, where Amazon will offer 5 gigabytes of storing space to anyone online, to anyone who will purchase a CD through Amazon. How do you see the book industry changing with regard to the spike in online sales? And how has this changed the sort of work that that you and your employees do at Wubbit?
Well, first of all, we don't really see the printed book going away by any stretch.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of hype out there that e-books are going to take over the planet and everything else, and we really don't see it that way. Now, we're certainly not naive enough to think that we don't need to be in the e-book market by any stretch. And so, in effect, currently, we are developing our own reader software, which will be downloadable when you purchase a book from us, and we're trying to move that thing across as many platforms as we possibly can. And because, quite frankly, I look at the ebook solutions out there, and although some of them are good, and I look at probably the iPad as probably the leader in those solutions. There's a lot of things like interactive media and videos and chats and those kind of things that we could make available that just aren't really available under some of the current hardware platforms.
Right. And one would think specifically about what you can do with an iPad that you can't yet do, for instance, with an Amazon Kindle.
That's correct. And when we went out and did some kind of, I would say, unofficial surveys, but really when it comes back to us, but specifically the information for people that were traveling and those kind of things, their response was, the last thing I need is another thing to put on the belt and put through the security line, right?
Right.
So if I can have an e-book reader that has email capability and software functionality and all the other kind of things mixed in there with it, it'd be a much more cost-effective solution.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, we're going to take a quick break and hear a public service announcement. And when I return, we're going to continue our conversation with Blaine Loomer. He is the founder of Wubbit.com, which is a full-service online bookseller that offers an alternative to traditional methods of online book sales and distribution. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Listeners might know that public broadcasting, public radio, public television, all of these are under attack. We here at KDVS are able to offer you a wide variety of excellent and surprising, unexpected, and hard-to-find programming, in part because of the tireless work of our volunteers. Well, you'll have an opportunity next month to help out KDVS. We've helped you out so often with culture and incisive public affairs programming during 2010 and 2011. Soon will be your opportunity to pay us back for the KDVS fundraiser, the once-a-year opportunity to support campus and community radio is coming up on April 18th. April 18th to 24th. We certainly hope that you'll do your part, and we'll remind you often why you should want to give a healthy donation during this program, Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Well, Blaine Loomer is here, and we're talking about Wubbit, which is a full-service online bookseller that offers an alternative to traditional methods of online book sales and distribution. And, Blaine, let me ask you, you had mentioned that you offer a number of services, including editing. And I'd say that a lot of people who have concerns about authors who go outside of traditional publishing channels, the agent, the editor, the publisher, the book rep, the bookstore, etc., that the quality of self-published books is really uneven, and that a lot of them need a lot more editing and a lot more cutting. And I'm wondering what your experience is with that, and the extent to which you feel that those concerns are valid.
Well, I would agree with that to an extent, right? And because I've seen, you know, we get a vast majority of the folks that come to us are self-published. And I think the mistake that a lot of the authors make out there is that they go get a friend that might be an English teacher or something like that, or go get a colleague or whatever, in order to save some money to edit their book or proofread their book or whatever the case may be. And we see that happening out there in the marketplace. And I would recommend to everybody to spend a few extra bucks, get yourself a professional editor, and you'll wind up with a lot better product at the end of the day.
That makes a lot of sense. And then in terms of Wubbit, what have been some of your greatest pleasures with this new publishing and distribution project? And what have been some of your unexpected challenges?
Well, we'll start out with challenges first. I mean, the probably the biggest challenge that we have is we're trying to affect a very drastic change in a very old industry,
right?
and that's that, you know, that's been a bit of an uphill road, and a lot of the folks in the publishing industry are kind of more of a wait and see type of people, and they're not what I would call really early adopters of technology. However, since we've launched this thing now 8-9 months ago, when we launched at the BEA show in New York, and we got a lot of interest, we started growing gradually and those kind of things, and now we're growing exponentially, and it's caught on with even some of the big publishing houses, and they're looking at us and saying, hey, you know what, this is a way for us to effectively go out and sell and market our products and increase our bottom line.
Right. Well, that makes a lot of sense, and that must be gratifying to you to have that sort of interest and have that sort of success at this point in the life of Wubbit.
Well, it's really been great, and as we see this thing grow, of course, it's almost like your own little baby, right? And as you start this thing, and in fact, I designed the original system myself, and as we see this thing grow, and not only in the book industry, but what's really been even more gratifying to me personally is that there are folks from other industries outside of the publishing world that have contacted us and say, hey, we really like your business model, and we'd like to implement it in our vertical market. So there's a lot of applications for this thing outside of the book industry that we had really never intended to go after to begin with, but those things are coming to fruition here very quickly.
Excellent. Good for you. Well, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you about Wubbit, and I'll remind folks the website is wubbit.com. We can visit that and find out more about the work of my guest, Blaine Loomer. Blaine, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks very much for having me on the show, Dr. Andy, and have a good day.
Thanks. You too. Take care now.
Bye.
Well, folks, stick around because we have some representatives of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble right here in the studio. They're going to tell you about an upcoming sonnet project that you won't want to miss if you're interested in poetry, literature, Shakespeare, or goodness. So stick around, because we've got more of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Tower Cafe is proud to join the 2011 Blood Drive, and they remind us that the need for a safe and secure blood supply is always with us. If you are healthy and qualified, do your part and donate blood. Doing so, you will protect not only yourself, but the community as well. Brought to you by the concerned staff at Tower Cafe at 1518 Broadway in Sacramento, as all hip people know. You may visit them online at towercafe.com. They are on the air because they care about the people in this community. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. I'm really pleased to welcome back some representatives of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble, which is the premier Shakespeare ensemble in the Sacramento Valley. I can say that, can't I? Doesn't that sound right? Yeah. They're not disagreeing vociferously. Gia Battista is here with Richard Choenhill, and they provide some of the poetry and the music and the drama that takes place beginning tomorrow night from Thursday, March 31st, on to Saturday, April 2nd, and then two shows on April 3rd at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. At the UC Davis Arboretum Gazebo, which is on Garrard Drive here on the UC Davis campus. It's called the Sonnet Project, and in cooperation with the UC Davis Arboretum, the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble will be providing us an original love story featuring the poetry of William Shakespeare's famous sonnets. I'll introduce you all first to Gia Battista, who's no stranger to this program. In addition to her duties as Associate Artistic Director of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble, she's also one of its most featured actors, playing both Juliet in Romeo and Juliet and Viola in Twelfth Night. Additionally, she is fostering the growth of the ensemble's educational outreach programs, having served as an instructor for the Mondavi Center's Art Bridge program while completing her studies at UC Davis. The acting credits of Gia Battista include Love's Labor's Lost at North Coast Repertory in San Diego, as well as Fuddy Mears and Macbeth at UC Davis. Gia Battista, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having me back.
No problem. So tell me what inspired this sonnet project that people will get to see this coming weekend at the Arboretum.
Well, the sonnets, actually. We wanted to do kind of a, not smaller, but more of a project-like production, because we've come out of two full-length productions and really wanted to kind of dive in at the sonnets and really incorporate a lot of music because it was such a hit for Twelfth Night and, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, the sonnets, and we really wanted to try it creating sort of a narrative through the sonnets as well. So, yeah, we got down in there and started typing away and saw what we could come up with. So
how many memorized sonnets do you have in your head right now?
Four.
That's pretty good.
Richard has 15.
Yeah.
I might have a little more than that.
Excellent. Good for you. And tell me how the process is different when you're learning your lines, memorizing sonnets versus learning lines. I know you've had some big parts in a number of productions for years here at UC Davis. What's the difference in your approach?
The difference? Well, we put the sonnets to music this time, so I was learning music as well as the words to the music. So that was kind of a double, doubly memorizing process. But we're also reciting some sonnets as well. So, creating the sonnet and having it be somewhat of a monologue, as from a character that's going through this story. It's, really trying to make clear the perspective of the person that's speaking the sonnet, and trying to make it be more of a character out of a poem that Shakespeare wrote that wasn't really meant to be spoken anyway.
Right. So, wasn't meant to be performed on stage.
Right.
More intimate love letters from one of our best poets.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's tricky. It was pretty tricky. Some of the, like you said, he didn't write these to be performed, so he wasn't as, helpful as he is with his characters in the plays.
Right. It's from my reading, I can tell that the language is a lot more compact. Internecine, if you will, that, they're all potential meanings and sounds that are stacked upon one another.
Definitely.
Whereas the plays are looser, there's more give and take, and I would think, therefore, easier to memorize, especially when you're interacting with others.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Well, and then tell us again about the setting for this project. It's at the Arboretum. Same spot where you all did Twelfth Night?
Same spot in the gazebo. So it's in the round. There's seating all around. So it's really still a really intimate setting as well. It shouldn't rain this weekend. It's not supposed to rain.
Right.
As we're experiencing the springtime right now, it's really warm. So it's been a lot warmer in the evenings than it was for Twelfth Night, when we had to have the full-on heaters and the tarps and stuff. I don't think we'll need to bring any of that out this time, so we're excited.
So you're saying that people who attend this show, they won't need to bring their fur parkas.
Correct.
And
their ski masks.
Right. Okay, good. Well, that's great. Well, let me introduce you all to my next guest. Richard Schoenhill is here. And I saw Richard's work in this most recent production of Twelfth Night, where he provided the music and also got to play a part or two on stage. Richard, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, dovetailing with your enthusiasm for the David Shakespeare Ensemble.
Right, definitely. I've been playing music for a long time, coming from a musical family, a family of college teachers and musicians, and I was a music major here at UC Davis. I graduated this past June with a degree in classical guitar performance and a degree in composition. So my musical interests are vast and broad. However, at the core of my musical interest is a fierce advocacy of Gaston Kunstwerk.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of brings me to David Shakespeare Ensemble. I was involved not as a composer, but as a performer in Oklahoma here at Davis a couple years ago, and then Hare last year. And it's always been a big goal of mine to be, resident composer, musical director, et cetera, for a group that performs, works of the canon, as well as, like, the Sonnet Project, devised works, new works,
right?
What have you. So Rob and Gia brought me in for Twelfth Night a couple months ago, and that was a totally different experience than this has been. Rob had a very clear idea of the type of music he wanted, where he wanted it, and we were working with a piece of the canon that was already there.
Right.
A work that had stage direction for music. This, however, is completely different, so it's been collaborative from the beginning, and I think it's really sort of intertwined, the visual design, the overall creative design as far as the literary design, and the music design from the beginning has been a collaborative process.
That's great. Well, you must be deeply thankful then that these enterprising undergraduates and recent graduates have put together the David Shakespeare Ensemble to give you this space where you can really collaborate with Shakespeare, put music to sonnets in ways that have rarely been done, at least for the last few hundred years, I would guess.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's an opportunity that every composer wishes they had. I'm glad that I got it so early in my career.
Yeah. And so you had spoken to this a little bit, but when you chart out the ideal arc of your career, where do you see yourself next year? Where do you see yourself in 5 or 10 years?
Yeah. Maybe next year, as far as short term, I might be in the middle of grad school, you know, sort of in the middle of that process, you know, hearing back, et cetera, all that stuff. But artistically speaking, I sort of plan to follow the same course, stay involved with as many theater things as I can, and not just theater, but collaboration of all sorts, sort of mixed media installments, et cetera, while, you know, just doing the same old thing every musician does, you know, just playing gigs and working on my own repertoire of, you know, art music pieces, et cetera, that aren't necessarily collaborations. So, yeah, as far as 5, 10 years down the road, hopefully just a much more advanced version of all that.
And maybe getting paid well to do a lot of that work.
Well, that goes without saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, good. Gia Battista and Richard Schoenhill are here from the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble. If you want to find out more about the work that they do, you can visit shakespeareensemble.com. You can also head over to the gazebo this coming weekend, starting tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, to see any one of the number of programs that are taking place at the Arboretum Gazebo. Gia, if, we can't mention prices on the air, but if people wanted to buy tickets, what's the best and easiest way for them to do that?
They can email us at davis.shakespeare@gmail.com. Let us know how many tickets you would like for what performance, and we will reserve your tickets, and then you can buy them at the door.
Excellent.
Or at the table.
Good, good. Well, you're listening to KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and we're talking some Shakespeare sonnets today on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Andy with an important message. Solano Community College reminds women that today's low-dose, state-of-the-art mammography can discover tumors too small to be discovered by touch. Early diagnosis is the key to saving lives. Schedule your appointment today at the hospital or clinic of your choice. This important reminder is brought to you by the concerned staff at Solano Community College in Fairfield. For registration and class information, you may visit them at solano.edu. On the air because they care about the people in this community. And we are back. We're listening to some jazzy interpretations by the musician Lalo Schifrin. Do you know Lalo Schifrin, Richard?
You know, I can't say I do. I've been enjoying this though. This is really nice. I'm definitely gonna have to take that CD when you're not looking.
All right. You could also check him out. I think he's won numerous Oscars for his musical work. So someone whose life might be of interest to you. I think everyone listening at home is interested in the life and the motivations of William Shakespeare. And one such person is Gia Battista. She's here in the studio. And because of her work on the Sonnet Project, which opens tomorrow night at the UC Davis Arboretum Gazebo, she now carries multiple sonnets in her head and can share them at will. I'm going to put her on the spot and see the extent to which that's true, and also to see how the actress Gia Battista interprets the sonnets of William Shakespeare. Gia, which sonnet have you chosen for listeners to enjoy this afternoon?
This is Sonnet 13.
Great. And did you want me to move the mic if you want to stand? You want to stay where you are? How do you feel?
This is good.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Great. So, ladies and gentlemen, together again, Gia Battista and William Shakespeare.
Oh, that you were yourself. But love, you are no longer yours, and you yourself here live. Against this coming end you should prepare, and your sweet semblance to some other give. So should that beauty which you hold in lease find no determination, then you were yourself again after yourself's decease, when your sweet issue, your sweet form should bear. Who let so fair a house fall to decay, which husbandry and honor might uphold against the stormy gusts of winter's day and barren rage of death's eternal cold? Oh, none but unthrifts! Dear my love, you know you had a father. Let your son say so.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know a number of the early sonnets. And what are there, 154?
Yeah.
I know that many of the early of the 154 sonnets by William Shakespeare are about this very topic that you just covered, and that is that someone so beautiful as the beloved should surely have children in order to pass along that beauty. Also with a frequent suggestion that I, Bill Shakespeare, will immortalize you with these very sonnets. So, we have the human issue of children, and then the issue of me doing what I can to immortalize my beloved.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Tell me a little bit more about how interaction takes place. What can we anticipate with the Sonnet Project?
In terms of the storyline?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, for this sonnet, for instance, we do have, try to find characters, you know, from the sonnets. And we do have the beloved, of course, and then there's the writer, a muse, and the character of time. So time is embodied in a character. And this sonnet, actually, the beloved speaks to the writer, and she's trying to persuade him.
Yeah.
Time for babies.
Right.
So, but this is the rising conflict of the narrative of our show, and drama ensues from there.
That's wonderful. So in part, then, it's about overcoming writer's block.
Yes. enhancing his inspiration, because we have his muse, but who's really inspiring him? Is it the beloved? Is it his muse? Or, you know, is it just the fact that time is moving him forward? So he's caught himself in this whirl of different characters and who's real and who's not. And
right.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So the Sonnet Project, it starts tomorrow evening. Do you want to remind folks a little bit how to get out to the gazebo? If they haven't been there before, and I don't really have directions to hand you, but just in a general sense,
It is off of it's on Garrett Drive off of LaRue, so it's over by the veterinary hospital, and there's the horse stables, and you can park in that parking lot at the veterinary hospital.
And then just stroll over,
walk on over to the gazebo.
Excellent. Well, Gia Battista and Richard Schoenhill, I very much appreciate you both coming on the program today to talk about the Sonnet Project. And I look forward to seeing you both on stage this weekend.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. And thank you, too, Richard.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, folks, today's edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour is going to be somewhat truncated because of the fact that baseball is coming up. Are you responsible for the baseball?
I am.
Excellent.
Yes.
You must be a busy guy.
Yes.
All right, good. All right. So things are being set up for the baseball. If I have 2.5 minutes, 45 after, then we're going to hear just a little bit more jazz. I'll read a public service announcement, and I'll come back with concluding words here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is Dr. Andy. I get to teach a freshman seminar, a first-year seminar, I should say, for transfer students this quarter. I'm very much looking forward to that and looking through the eyes of wide-eyed students, but all the great resources available at UC Davis to make sure that we all feel integrated and connected with the larger UC Davis community. I'm reminded of that as I read this public service announcement for high school international student exchange programs. The nonprofit ASSE International Student Exchange Program is seeking local high school students interested in becoming exchange students in a foreign land for an academic year or summer program. Exchange students live with a caring host family while attending high school and learning about the language and people of their chosen host country. Remember that the fundraiser is coming up April 18th to 24th, so think about what your favorite shows are and be ready to support them generously. We will need your help if we're going to continue to provide you the high-quality programming that you've come to expect when you tune in to KDBS and when you tune in to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'll see you next week.